We don't feast on Rhema. We feast on Logos. And it is very necessary. That's why he says, let it dwell in you richly. Continually. That's why he said, I commend you to the word of his grace. To the feasting. You must feast with his grace. You must feast with the Logos. It is a feasting.
Tensility of faith. Tensility of faith.
The conviction of truth. Or you can say faith is the unshakable belief in the truth. Unshakable belief in the truth. That's what we have said. Conviction of truth. What is truth? Truth is actualizing reality. It's actualizing reality. So we are talking about the tensility of the convictions of truth. Hallelujah. We are talking about the tensile nature of the convictions of truth. So the subject is not all about faith. It's about the tensile nature of faith. Because now you have learned what faith is all about. It's very important for us to understand the tensile nature of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter, 4, verse 13.
We, having the same spirit of faith,
yes,
according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak.
Hallelujah. We then having the same spirit of faith, that means that faith is a spirit. It's describing the personality of faith, right? So faith is a spirit. But that means, it doesn't mean that that is the definition. Because I've heard some people saying, why do people go defining many things? Let's just go to the shortcut. Faith is spirit. No, it's not about that. So it is we having the same spirit of faith, knowing that we have received the person called faith. So faith is a person. Hallelujah. Faith is a person. But also faith is a virtue. So there it says that we have received the same spirit of faith wherewith we have believed, as it is written, I believed and therefore have we spoken, or have I spoken. So we also believe and therefore speak. Praise the Lord. We having the same spirit of faith. The word having is a continuous tense. It's not we have or we had. We having the same spirit of faith is, this scripture explains to you what we call the working of the person of faith. When it says we having the same spirit of faith, it means that we as Christians have the person of faith working in us. So now in the next, it shows us what we call the working of faith, how faith works. It says, according as it is written. Written where? According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. He did not only accept it, but he had to bring the finality. Because when you speak it, you are bringing what we call judgment. So, as therefore, according as it's written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also take over the same thing. We also believe, and therefore speak. Say amen. So that is a testimony of a Christian. If you say you believe, the speaking is a must. The word speak is the Greek word laleo, which means to utter a voice. To utter a voice. That means your voice must be heard. It's not about I believe inside my heart. No, it has to be heard. It has to be spoken out. Say amen. So when we are dealing with the tensile nature, read Psalms chapter 116, verse 10. If you want to understand what it was talking about, this is how you can read it. I was greatly afflicted. That's the mindset that it was talking, this thing here. I was greatly afflicted. That's why I believed and therefore I spoke. That's the mindset. I was greatly afflicted. I was seeing many things around me. Things were not going the way I wanted. Everything around me seemed to me as though God was not there. So when I saw the Lord, I believed and therefore I spoke. Because I knew that when I speak, that is when the afflictions will be quenched. Am I speaking to somebody? Because when you don't speak, the afflictions will continue. They will continue. Because that's the way it is. That's how life is. It will continue. You can believe that afflictions are around you. They will never go anywhere. They will be there. But it says, have you believed what? In the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that the tribulations will come your way. But he said, cheer up, for I have overcome. So you believed that statement. You believed that word. And therefore spoke to the afflictions that I am not afraid of you. I am cheerful. I am joyous. And therefore I speak that no afflictions shall prosper around me. So you must speak. You speaking doesn't mean you repeat the same thing that Jesus said. But the afflictions need the utterance, the command of your voice. The final word is what tells us that faith is in operation. Have you understood that? Say amen. So I believed and therefore what? I spoke. The tensile part. The word tensile means the act of extension. It's the act of extension. It also means to stretch out. To stretch your faith. To stretch. I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to stretch. To stretch the operation of your faith. That's the right word. To stretch the operation of your faith. To extend the operation of your faith. It also means to augment. To augment the operation of your faith. To augment the operation of your faith. So we are talking about the augmentation of faith. The augmentation of the operations of faith. Can my faith operate at a lengthy level? At an extended level? At an expanded level? Can it operate? Because it's very important as a Christian to pay attention to the subject of faith. The subject of faith is very important. The Father told us about that. The subject of faith. Very important. It's not just in defining and knowing it that I know what it is. It's not about that. It's not about collective knowledge of knowing everything so that you can explain it to another person. No. Is talking about us throwing ourselves in the operations of this thing called faith. That's why he teaches us faith. Can I stretch my faith? Can I stretch the operation of my faith? Because I've been in this place too long. What does it take for me to go to the next level of operation? It takes what we call the tensile nature of that faith operation. That means I need to operate my faith at a higher dimension. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So for faith to be tensile, you have to pay attention that the existent situation must have already been prevailed on by that faith. You are not going to talk about the extension of the operation of your faith when the present situation, your faith has not prevailed over it. It cannot. That's why God tells each and every one of us to inculcate in our souls. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Prevalence is very important. The Bible says, and the word of God grew. And prevailed. prevail. By the time they talk about prevalence, it means no force can put the word down. So when we talk about faith prevalence, we are saying that your faith has now reached that point of operation whereby it's now been given, it's now an overflow. And that overflow is needed to the next level. Not in that level again. Not in that level again. So learn the nature of prevalence. Prevailing over a matter. Don't leave a matter until the Spirit of God has put a victory note in your soul. Don't leave it. Put your faith to work. Put your faith to work. There is a difference between repetitions that God spoke about and faith. It's different. Have you discovered every time we come here, we are saying, it is at work. It is at work. We are talking our faith. And we are talking it until it prevails on a matter. So it has to prevail.
Praise the Lord.
So can my faith augment, my faith operations augment? It's a question that you should ask yourself. Can it augment? What do I need to make this faith augment? Because it's very important. Now I've discovered that faith operations augment. And God is very interested in each and every one of us here paying attention to the augmentation of your faith operation. Very important. Your convictions of truth must augment so that you start dealing with bigger matters than what you're dealing with right now. Because where we are going, there are bigger matters. They don't require that faith operation of now. That's why God is talking to us right now like this. You must augment on your faith operation. In that place of faith augmentation, we don't have people who are complaining. We don't have people who are looking for excuses. We don't have people who are on what we call the mood swings. Today I'm not, tomorrow maybe. No. It's a different thing. These are people who have discovered who the Spirit of grace is. You have discovered the Spirit of grace. You're not just shouting grace. You have discovered. He's working. Say amen. So for you to augment in your faith operation, what is that thing that causes faith to augment? What is that thing that causes faith to augment? It's called the nature of love. The nature of love is one of those that God gave us so that we pay attention to the augmentation of our faith operation. We have spoken about the subject and the person and the virtue of love for a long time because it's the foundation. It's the foundation. No matter what you will ever preach, no matter what you will ever see, the love of God is the foundation. Why? Because the love of God stretches forth. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, 19.
Verse 14 says,
yes.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and what?
In earth.
So, in heaven there's a family. So, whenever you are praying, whenever you are creating, don't see as if you are a distant away. No. You are in the house. You are in the house. You're in the presence of the Father. Of whom the whole family is named.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me read verse 18 to save time. It says that may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, and to have a revelation to be revealed to in full measure what the love of Christ is all about. It says, because the love of Christ stretches in its width, in its height,
in its depth. It reaches all sides. This has been explained to you with intensity. Go back and study again. Go back and launch in it again. What is the depth of love? Where the depth of love ends, that is where the operations of faith ends. Are you hearing that? Because love is the determinant of your faith extension. Love is the determinant of your faith height, your faith width, your faith depth. How intense your faith operation is going to go is dependent on the intensity of your practice of love. Don't think that because you have the love of God now in full, so now your faith extension is already full. No, it's not like that. It is true in our spirits, faith is full. Love is full in its height, depth, width, everything in our spirit is full. But now, for us to keep bringing it in our souls, we need to have a revelation. That's why he's saying, and to know. To know means to reveal, to open up. To open up to what? Open these verities for your soul to become aware of them. Because these verities are in your spirit. So every time as you see the word and you talk them out, they are brought in the rim of your soul. Your soul is conditioned to know the practice of love, so that you walk it even on the outside. You walk it on the outside as a result of what's happening inside. So that word to know means to have a revelation. Because a man that does not have revelation, you'll never see them walking in it. They can't. You can never walk. It doesn't matter. It's not about cramming and walking. No. This thing is reflex. It just comes out by itself. It's your nature. Why didn't you come naked today at church? I mean, because you knew that you knew that clothes are a part of you. So this thing is a part of you. That's how it is. Praise the Lord. And to know the love of what? To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that surpasses scientific knowledge. So when you pay attention to the depth of love, the length of love, how far does the love of God go? That is the determinant for causing your faith operation to be what? Tensile. When you practice to love each and every day, there is nothing that you'll ever speak in faith and never come to pass. Never. Whether others don't like the way you're doing things, but because you have embraced the love of God and the love of God is coming out of you strong, your faith is bound to produce results. So, for your faith operations to augment, to be tensile, what determines it is the love of God. Because where faith is, love is present. Are you seeing that? So, number two is about when you want your faith operation to increase in manifestation, you have to consider what we call the potency of creation. The word potency is talking about an effective working. An effective working or a performance. The performance of creation. The active performance with power of creation. The potency of creation is a very integral part of making sure that your faith manifestation goes to higher levels. Say amen. The subject of creation has been ignored for long by many people because of a bunch of excuses. These excuses come as a result of lack of understanding of what creation is all about. Now, even the people who have understood what creation is all about, they don't even want to actively involve themselves
in this thing called creation. Creation is a ministry, what we normally call prayer. Prayer is a ministry that each and every one of us as a Christian must indulge in. As a Christian and as a ministry, we have to indulge in. Prayer, we don't pray because we feel like praying. No. It's not because you feel like praying that you should pray. We pray even when we don't feel like praying. Even when we don't feel like creating, we create. Why? Because creating is a ministry. It's not just about bringing things to pass for us to use or for us to be happy. No. We don't create because we just want to bring things to pass so that we are happy with them. No, we create because this is the nature of God for us to create. So when you're talking about creation, don't just look at one side that is bringing things to pass, bringing things to existence, bringing things. Pastor Paul gave us definition so that you may go to another level. I always tell you that. And he has always told you that. So when you get the definition of prayer, and it is to bring things into what? Existence. That's good. That's good. That's the beginning for us. They have given us food for meditation. But do you think that prayer is only for bringing things into existence? It's not about that. God does not love us because he wants us to preach the gospel. No. He loves us because that's his nature. It is his nature to love us. He couldn't have wanted anything from you. But he loves you. He loves you. Anyway, he loves you. So he has given us also the gift of creation. The gift of creation. He has given it to us because this is part of his nature. It's part of his nature for us to commune. It's a ministry. So the potency of creation is very important in the life of a Christian. Your faith operation will not take root if you're a person who doesn't pay attention to creation. There is no man of God. No man of God. It's not possible. You walk around and you see. Even you. It's not possible. It's a ministry. It's one of the things that God has told us to do. There are certain things that right now cannot come to pass around us just because of one thing. Our own excuses in our souls for misunderstanding the potency of prayer. Now we are in the grace, so you just say 5 minutes prayer and then that is it. It's okay. Even me, I speak 5 minutes. If James chapter 5 verse 16.
5:16 says,
yes.
Confess your faults one to another.
Confess your faults one to another.
And pray for one another.
Pray for one another.
That ye may be healed.
Ye may be healed.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
The effective prayer or the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth what? Confess, therefore, your faults. The honest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. Listen to that. Makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its operation. And not just any prayer anyhow. You see, the heartfelt. That's what I want to deal with and I close. The heartfelt prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then you see, continued. Heartfelt is talking about what we call our emotions, our feelings, our decisions, our will. Heartfelt is a very, very important thing. Sometimes you find some people praying and they're even crying while they're praying. And you don't understand what's happening to them.
He said that this thing must be heartfelt. It's not because you just pray because they told you to pray. No, it has to be heartfelt. You, in other words, you have to put your mind on the thing that you're dealing with. Many people, when they are creating, they don't put their minds there. Someone is creating, for example, you're creating for the ministry, right? You've lifted up your hands and you're creating for the ministry. But your mind is fluttering. Your mind is thinking about your office. Your mind is thinking about the food that you left at home. Your mind is thinking about somebody who troubled you last night. You are not focused. You have not attached emotions to them. Because the reason why God gave you emotions and feelings, so that you may put them there. That's why he said the heartfelt. You must put your mind to what you want. You have to. Your emotions have to be involved in the thing. It's not just about it. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you in the name of Jesus, minus devil, like someone said. Then you go away. It's not about that. Heartfelt. Heartfelt. I want to read for you an Old Testament scripture that the people in the Old Testament use so much in the spirit for you to understand prayer. Isaiah 66 verse 8.
Isaiah 66 verse 8 says,
yes,
who has heard such a thing?
Who has heard such a thing?
Who has seen such things?
Yes.
Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day?
Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day?
Or shall a nation be born at once?
Shall a nation be born at once?
For as soon as Zion travailed,
for as soon as Zion travails,
she brought forth her children.
She brought forth her children. Praise the Lord. Will the earth bring fruit in one day? Because me, I thought that immediately I do this, then things must arrive. I thought it's all about this and this, and then things happen. He said, who has had such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Do you go and plant your seed on the ground and then you go back home? After 5 minutes, you come back that you want to reap? Why can't you? Because there are precious conditions laid down by the principles of agriculture, right? Which were even brought down by God. That this thing will have to spend some time. There has to be a brooding over it before it sprouts forth. There has to be conditions necessary for it to grow. Then it comes to pass. That is not evil. That is nothing even attached to the law of Moses. It is a principle of God on earth. So who has had such a thing? But he says, as soon as Zion, who is Zion? He's talking about the church. As soon as Zion travails, that word to travail was talking about, it gives a connotation of a woman who is in birth or labor, who has birth pains. Are you getting that? Who has birth pains? So he's not talking about physical birth pains for Zion. No. He's saying that, how do we bring things to pass? How do we create? How do we give birth? The pains there, they're not talking about these pains that we always, when they slap you. What? No. They are talking about involving your emotions, feelings. Until Zion puts his mind, his emotion on such a thing, it can never come to pass. It's there in your Bible. It also has a connotation of what we call the striving of grace. Grace pressing to accomplish the work that it has been given. The laboring of grace. Do you remember that? Yes. That's what he's talking about also there. So he says that Zion labors in grace to bring forth a child. How do you labor in grace? The prayer of a righteous man. You must involve your emotions. You must involve your emotions. Psalms chapter 7 verse 14.
Psalms chapter 7 verse 14.
Yes.
It says, behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood.
Now, I'll read for you that so that you may see it on the negative side. If it is working on a negative side, What about on this side? The thief puts his mind, puts his emotions concerning what he wants, pays attention to it. He says that, behold, he travaileth the iniquity. In our language of Christianity, he prays iniquity. He puts his emotion in what he wants to do. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief. This conception. So that means that in prayer, that's where conception is. When someone does not pray, there's no conceiving. Why? Can I tell you that the seed is the word of God? Every time we speak, the seed is the word of God. It is planted on fertile what? Ground. On fertile ground. So the ground should always be ready to receive seed. So every time we pray, it's a brooding over. We brood over that word. Conception. You conceive and bring things to pass. Let me tell you, a man that creates, a man that pays attention to potency or prayer is always consistent. He's always consistent. No excuse whatsoever. So pay attention to put your mind on these things. Every time you pray, you'll see your faith operation will keep stretching. Will keep stretching. Will keep stretching day by day. I'm telling you. You'll see it at work. Some of them, you may see the results now. Some of them, these are preparation for the future. You're laying many things for the future. Not everything that you are creating for right now is going to shine on your feet right now. Not really. God is a master builder. He's a master builder. He will allow you to walk in what you can walk in.
This is a PTMI Media production. For more information, contact us on +256 703 797 444 or +256 703 670 272. You can email us on ptmi@myptmi.org or get us also on the web www.myptmi.org. You are eternally and dearly blessed.